We are glad you have taken time to come out and be with us this morning for our worship time. Looking forward to our giving God worship. He's the one who we come to be here for. And at the same time, inevitably and in a good way, God turns around and speaks to us. That's part of worship too. Let God speak to us so our lives can be more and more like Jesus in all kinds of ways. So pray with me, okay? God, we are grateful to be here. We ask, Father, that you'll bless our time together. First and foremost, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. We present ourselves, God, just as we are today. And that brings a lot of joys, a lot of blessings. It also, I'm sure, for some, brings some sadness, maybe even heartache. And Lord, we give ourselves to you as we are. We bless you, we praise you, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, fill our time of worship now. In song, in message, in response, in communion, do among us what you desire to do. This, God, is our prayer. Through your Son, Jesus. Amen. A few weeks ago, I began a series called Gearing Up with God for 2023. Now, if you've missed the first one or the second one or the first couple, you can go on to at least the Crossroads website. I has it. I think Calvary might have it as well. You can listen to those sermons. Today, we're doing part three. We looked at getting your vision back, your personal vision back, back for your family, church, getting their vision back. Then last time I preached last week, we talked about getting back to the basics that God wants us to understand, know, and practice so we can get geared up with him and for him. So today we're talking about part three, that God wants to work through you. Now, if you had a bulletin, got one on the way in, you should have an outline there, and I encourage you to take it out. You can follow along, and you can also fill in part of the sermon blanks as we go. So God wants to work through you, and today we're going to be talking about Noah. Noah was an ordinary person through whom God worked in great ways. Now, I want to start at the end of Noah's life, because it's there that we see part of why we know Noah was ordinary, average, just like you and I. So I want to give you a warning first. Warning. How many of y'all remember Lost in Space? Remember the robot? Warning, 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 Will Robinson. You know what the name of that robot was? Do you remember? It didn't have a name. He was just called Robot the whole series. Here it is. Here's the warning. Even godly people can be tripped up just before the finish line. You can fill that in. Even godly people can be tripped up just before the finish line. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. It says, after the flood, Noah became a farmer and planted a vineyard. One day he became drunk on some wine he had made, and he lay naked in his tent. Now this is the epilogue to Noah's life. The Bible says, here was this man who lived a blameless life, his entire life, the only godly man in the world at that time. He had faith and persistence. He was available. All those great things that God says about him. He built an ark before the flood came. And when it dried out, he made it through the flood. When it dried out, the Bible tells us that he built a vineyard and he fermented some of his grapes. They became alcohol. I guess grape wine makes Noah's clothes fall off. Because the Bible said he got drunk, he took off all his clothes, he made a fool of himself. And Noah, who lived perfectly when everybody else was blowing it, now he himself blows it. If Noah had never done anything wrong in his life, we'd say, he's perfect. I can't emulate Noah. I can't be like him. He's perfect. He wasn't perfect. He was just like you and me, imperfect. But in spite of his imperfections, God still used him. Look at these verses, or this verse in Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. One of the questions I want us to at least look at just a small way is, why did God choose Noah? When God destroyed the world with a flood, archaeologists tell us there were approximately 1 million people on the earth at that time. So I guess Noah was one in a million, because he's the only one that got chosen. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says this, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God chose Noah because Noah's heart was fully committed to God. Doesn't mean he was perfect. He wasn't. But he had a heart for God. He wanted to please God. He wanted to be more God-like. He wanted God to change his life. He wanted God to use him. His heart was for God. He just wasn't perfect, just like us. You can have a heart for God and still realize you're a sinner. We still fall short. So I want us to look at four characteristics this morning that indicate the kind of person that God uses, basing it on the life of Noah. So number one of the characteristics you need to have if you want God to use you, if you want God to work through you, is you need to be available, because Noah was available. One of the greatest reasons God could use Noah is he was available. God looked down and he found one man that he was going to use. Why Noah? In Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8, it says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he was available. 1 million people on the earth, and God could only find one, Noah. He was available. Folks, in God's eyes, availability is way more important than ability. You don't have to be doing everything great, or even some small things that you just specialize in. You're super. No, you can just be like all the rest of us, average Joes and Janes. And God can use you if you simply say, God, I'm available. Remember, folks, God used a child's lunch to feed 15,000 people because that child was available, and so was his lunch. Just become available. The story is told of a gentleman by the name of Tony Campolo. He's a Christian professor of sociology back in the East. And he was to speak at a college at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And he drove to the college before he was to speak, and several men took him to a back room. They wanted to have prayer with Tony before he gave his speech. And while the men were praying, off the cuff, one man prayed this, God, about Bert Harris. Bert Harris really needs you badly. He lives in that trailer down the street, and he's considering leaving his wife and family. And Lord, if you could just get through to Bert Harris, that would be great. And Tony kind of thought that was kind of a strange thing to add into a prayer before he goes out to speak. But he went out and he spoke. He finished. He got in his car. He's driving home. And on the way home, he picks up a hitchhiker. He told this fellow, I know you're not supposed to pick up hitchhikers, but being a preacher, anytime I can get a captive audience, I take advantage of it. I did this when I was first going to college back in the day. I lived 8 hours away. I lived in Baltimore. I went to college in Southwest Virginia. And if there was somebody that needed a ride, I gave it to them. It's the same reason. I kept tracks in my glove compartment. I drove a Volkswagen, not a lot of room to wiggle out of there. And once I got on, I just said, hey, there's some stuff in that glove compartment. Would you get that for me? He reaches in and got a track in his hand. Where's he going? Now, I don't suggest you do that anymore. It was quite an interesting ministry. So he's got this guy in the car, a captive audience, and he says, by the way, my name's Tony Campolo. What's your name? The guy says, my name's Bert Harris. Campolo stopped the car, turned it around, immediately headed in the opposite direction. The man said, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking you back to your wife and family who you're trying to leave. The man shut up and didn't say another word. Eventually, he said, how do you know where I live? And Tony said, God told me. And in a way, God did, just through somebody else. He took Mr. Bert Harris back to the family, did some counseling with him. They got together. They lived in a good way. And it all happened because Tony Campolo said, God, I'm available. Now, if you're like me, when you drive, you want to start wherever you're starting from and get to where you're going. And I wonder sometimes if God wants me to do some things between here and there that I'm not expecting or that I don't really care to do, but he wants me to be available just in case I need to do something along the way. God can use you in ways you can't imagine if you simply say, God, I'm what? I'm available. I'm available. That's what he did with Noah. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised at the kind of people God used. They're not going to be superstars. They're not going to be amazing, not super gifted, not the upper echelon of talent. They're going to be ordinary people with faults and hang-ups and fears. Yet they said, God, I'm available. Use me. There's another characteristic that Noah had. If we practice, God can use us. Number two, Noah dared to be different. He dared to be different. Genesis 6:9, it says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Underline that phrase, blameless among the people of his time. Morally, Noah was a man of deep conviction. He dared to be different. He wasn't afraid to stand out, to stand alone. He wasn't concerned about what other people thought of him. He wasn't out to win a popularity contest. He dared to be different. At this point in this story, this point in world history, the Bible says that there was corruption, violence, and immorality. Society was morally bankrupt. Yet Noah was different. In spite of the fact that he lived in a terrible society, he was blameless. Think about the criticism that Noah must have gotten. The neighbors probably ridiculed him. Noah, you're a crackpot. What are you building? You barely have any money. You're spending it all on this ark thing. Imagine when Noah went to the grocery store. Hey, there's that crazy guy over there. I feel sorry for his wife and kids. He has no sense. He doesn't know what he's doing. He probably got pressure from his family. Would you like to have been one of Noah's kids, a teenager? Dad, get a regular job. This is embarrassing. Could you put up with the misunderstanding, being misunderstood and criticized year after year after year because of your convictions? Folks, conformity is often the enemy of Christianity. But Noah was not afraid to stand alone. While everybody else was going to the dogs, he said, I will not participate in that. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man is a dangerous trap. This means if you worry about what other people think about you, you're going to find yourself in trouble. We should only be concerned about what God thinks of us. Noah was available, and he was willing to be different. What gave him the confidence to be different for so many years? Look at Genesis 6:9. It's because he walked with God. He had fellowship with God. He had a relationship with God that gave him the strength to say, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to do what I think is right. And that's the kind of person that God can use. Number three, a third characteristic in Noah's life. Noah followed God completely. He followed God completely. The Bible, the people that God uses, folks, are people who follow the directions without making excuses. In Genesis 6:22, the Bible says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. It doesn't say he did some of the things he wanted to do some of the time. It says he did everything that God commanded. Genesis 7:5, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Not some, not partially. He did it all. It was unconditional obedience. Now think about the project that Noah was actually doing. It didn't make sense for several reasons. First of all, the Bible says that until the time of the flood, it had never rained. In Genesis 2, it says that the way the earth was watered was a mist that came up from the ground, kind of like dew in the morning. This whole atmosphere thing was different because it had never rained. And God said, build a boat. Make it in a shape that it'll float in water. And he doesn't have a clue what God's talking about. He's building an ark in the middle of the desert. And he's like, what are you going to do with that, Noah? He said, well, it's going to rain a lot. They said, what's rain? It hadn't rained yet. What's rain? Secondly, not only had it never rained, Noah was at least 500 miles from the largest body of water, the Mediterranean Ocean, 500 miles. What kind of boat trailer would he need? miles across the desert to get to the ocean. It made no sense. And third, the greatest thing was how in the world was God going to round up all those animals? Only God could do something like that. How do you explain that? I can't explain it. I can't. But if God can create the world, I'm sure he has some way he can round up the animals. The thing about Noah is he didn't argue, he didn't complain, he didn't explain it away. He just said, okay, Lord, whatever you say. One of the real tests of faith in life is, how do I follow God's will? Do I follow his instructions even when they don't make sense? Do I only follow it when I have to understand all the implications will be? Maybe some of you parents can understand, aunts and uncles, grandparents can understand and identify with this. You ever told your kid to do something and the first three-letter word out of their mouth is, why? I want you to go do this. Why? After they get up off the floor, just kidding. And like you, I'd say, go and do it first, and I'll tell you why later. You won't understand it if I tell you now. Be obedient, go and do it, and then I'll explain why. Sometimes, folks, that's what God says to us. Kevin, I want you to go do this. Why? I want you to go be a part of this. Why? I want you to do something that's not going to make sense to you. Why? Nope, God says, be obedient. You'll learn why later. That takes faith, folks. Because God never tells us everything all up front. Noah was available. He dared to be different. He followed God completely. And number four, Noah never gave up. Noah never, never gave up. Noah is a key example of patience and persistence and determination. He was a hard worker. You know how long it took to build the ark? 120 years. 120 years to build the ark. Sounds like how long it's taken me to paint my bathrooms. It's only been about 4 or 5 now, but I'm getting it done this time. In Genesis 6:3, the Bible says this. Then Jehovah said, "My spirit must not forever be disgraced in man, wholly evil as he is. I will give him 120 years to mend his ways." This says there's a limit to God's patience, folks. There's a limit to what God will put up with from mankind. After the decision was made to destroy the world by a flood, God waited another 120 years before he did it. Why? Because that's how long it took Noah to build the ark. Here's the question, folks. If you want to be used by God, could you maintain enthusiasm for a project that took long to complete? Way, way long to complete. Do you think you could keep up your motivation? You think you could stay excited and keep on keeping on, even though it might take you your entire life to do it? One reason God doesn't use a lot of people is because they give up too soon. Now, there are three things that are going to tempt you about giving up. First, you're going to be tempted by problems. When problems start coming your way, you're going to be tempted to give up. Every good idea has something wrong with it. There were problems when Noah built the ark, but he didn't give up. Can you imagine how do you separate the animals in the ark, especially the ones that like to eat each other? How do you do that? Well, you don't put bobcats next to the rabbits. You don't put birds next to the worms. How would you like to provide food for all those animals? And how would you like to clean up the mess? Number two, problems can make you give up. Number two, pressures can make you give up. I'm sure Noah must have thought on many occasions, this is just too big for me. I can't do it. He felt all the weight of the world on him. And number three, people. People will tempt you to give up sometimes. People may disappoint you. They might misunderstand you. They will criticize you. They'll let you down. And that will tempt you to give up. But God said, Noah, he was available, he was determined, and he was not going to give up. He was a man of commitment. He never gave up. One of the greatest NFL running backs of all time was a man named Walter Payton. He played 13 years for the Chicago Bears. He was an incredible runner. And during a Monday night football game years ago, an announcer observed that Walter Payton had accumulated over 9 miles of yardage running the football. 9 miles. The other announcer remarked, "Yeah, and that's with somebody knocking him down every 4.6 yards. And you know what happened every time Walter got knocked down every 4.6 yards? He got back up. He got back up 9 miles worth of 4.6 yards. That is a key success to allowing God continue to use us is when we get knocked down, we get back up again. So never, never, never give up. God can use you. Well, yes, he can. He really can. And he wants to. A voice within says that I'm damaged goods. I'm disqualified. And that's what Satan wants us to believe. Well, we are damaged goods, but God says you're not disqualified. I can use you. Where culture sees defeat, Jesus sees potential. Our past should never define us. Our past is a life lesson, not a life sentence. And Jesus comes and he says, your name, I can use you. Just like I used Noah, God says, I can use you. Will you be willing to allow God to do that? Gear up with God in 2023 by realizing God wants to use you, work through you, imperfect you, just like he did Noah. So be available, be different, follow God completely, and never give up. If we'll do that, just watch how God works through you. You may never build the next ark. Matter of fact, if God tells you to do that, come talk to me first. Might be more than God telling you that. It could be last night's burritos, but I guarantee you God will work for you somehow, some way. He will. He will. Pray with me. Father, thank you for time to look into your word today and to talk about somebody who most people in the entire world have heard of, old Mr. Noah. God, I thank you that we are reminded today by your word that Noah was not perfect. He had a heart for you, but he wasn't perfect. He sinned, just like we do. And yet God, because he made himself available, because he dared to be different, because he wouldn't give up, because he didn't listen to what people were telling him, and he just put himself before you, you were able to use sinful Noah to literally change the world and to continue on in the human race. Now that's a lot to take on, Lord. So what I want you to do right now, I pray that you will just somehow translate that into my life. Translate that into how I can make myself available to you and allow you to use me, and do that for every person here who is your child. I know there are folks here today, Lord, that think you have never used them and you never will, and that's just not true. God, let us know if we will just let go and let you, we will make ourselves available, we put ourselves before you, you will work through us to reach people, to bless others, to make us more and more like your son. Now, God, for our response time today, we pray that you'll bless it. We probably all need to respond some way to this, and just pray your Holy Spirit will guide us through that time. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, let's pray together. God, we prayed just a little while ago before we started our time of worship, and it's very obvious you answered. And we don't want to be like the lepers who walked away when they were healed and never came back to say thank you. Right now, we want to say thank you. Thank you, God. You are always good. Now, Father, dismiss us in your care, in your love. Lord, just for this day, we want to try to make ourselves available. So we're going to do that, Lord. Help that to become a habit we have so we can continue to be used by you to bless others, to win people to Christ, to help others grow, to meet needs that they have. Thank you, God. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.